speaking the truth. From the church to the streets, yeah, I'm speaking to you. I used to put him in your city by the 100 or 2. He took 124 and made it do what it do. Doubled up, tripled up, now we got thousands there. Went into a real worship and Pentecost fell. They wasn't in no buildings, drunk. No walls, no ceilings, no limits, bro. Kingdom folk, living it up. Brothers, keepers, equally distributing it up. Celebration is restoration. Kingdom minded juice, man, we going places. I told y'all change.
Yo, what's up, what's up? It's your boy Kingpin, Big Drake, Made Man Radio. You know how we do. Man, Big Drake, what's up with your boy?
Chilling. Happy to be back on the air with my family. What, boy?
I just like to lay it out. It's 3 weeks in a row. That's all I'm saying. It's 3 weeks in a row.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
3 weeks in a row. Put that in your lip pipe and smoke it, man. Hey, we debuting. Listen, I want y'all to know. I want people to be tuning into the Made Men Radio Show, not only because we're going to keep you laughing, we're going to keep you informed, but also because we debuting the hits. Yeah, you heard it right here, baby. That was Cash, my boy Chris. And Cash stands for Chris Always Stays Humble. So we debuting that album right now, man. Chris on that, I worshiping now, man. So, hey, we want the Made Men Radio Show to be the spot where folks come to us talking about, hey, Kingpin, Big Drake, can you play my stuff?
Because this is all the right type of music. We own it.
Hey, we own it, baby. We own it. Hey, if you talk about doing the right stuff and doing it the right way and trying to make that cheese with you, we got your back, baby. Trust and believe that, man. So
don't send us no Shake Club songs. It's not gonna get played. if I can go to Pleasures and hear that song, it's not gonna make it on this radio.
Just in case you haven't noticed, we don't have no cussing and stuff. Every now and then, a guest may cuss. But other than that, we are definitely about the Lord, all right? We always try and look for opportunity, man, to debut some hot new artists at a try. Because, again, you know, the gospel stuff don't get played quite as much. And, man, that's what Satan wants us to believe, that we can't do the same type thing, man, and still be crunk for the Lord. So I just love to dispel those rumors. If you enjoy the music, if you hear artists out there you want me to play on the radio, man, hit your boy up, man, Kingpin at MadeManRadio.net, and I'll definitely get the track. I spend tons of money on music all the time. I always got the fresh beats going on, man. So, Big Drake, man, how your week been so far, bro?
Oh, man, it's been horrible. My Made Men family, you've been listening to me, and you know I've been struggling, dealing with my sorry supervisor named Jimmy Taylor. I'm going to say his whole name, Jimmy Taylor. So, well, let me just tell you, listeners, you know, you guys heard about the last time where he had home chilling, and me and my partner still out doing something they asked us to do, and he totally forgot about us. Well, this week, I've been on call all week. I went on call Monday at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, to catch all the after hour stuff. And I just came off call this Monday at 8 this morning. So, you don't call for a whole week.
Okay.
And I'm just going to let it be known. This guy here, when he's on call, he's not coming out no matter what you have. He ain't coming out. He's going to say whatever he has to say so he don't have to come out. But if you are on call, let's just say I've been called out at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the only thing I could do was take pictures.
Wow,
that's it. Couldn't talk.
Now keep in mind, you are a supervisor level as well.
Yes, he outranks me though.
But all you called out, and all you got to do when you get there is take pictures.
That's all I can do. And normally, when you have a situation like that, you wait until the next morning. It's just pictures. No, because he's not on call. I have to get up and go. And I'm the type of, I'm not going to disrespect my supervisor.
Right.
You know, hey, you got, oh, yes, sir, I'll get up and go.
Wow.
So, I got called out multiple times during the middle of the week. This weekend, my Saturday went okay.
Okay.
I was able to put some mulch down and, and Kingpin, you're going to have to post that picture on my grass. Now, take in mind, people. I'll add it. Let's know how serious I'm about my grass.
You are serious.
It's March, and we've had some touch and go weather. Couple of days is nice and sunny. Next couple of days is 50-40 degrees. This morning it was 37 degrees.
That's right.
If you were to post that picture, now my grass ain't fully done yet. I'm still working on it. I still got a long way to go. But if y'all recall, I spoke to a gentleman by the name of Dr. David Yon at Auburn University, that Cal College. Mm. And he gave me some tips. And I've been following those tips diligently. And if Kingpin, you post that picture up on our website, you can go to mainmen.net, well, mainmenradio.net, and look at that picture.
It shows,
that thing,
brother.
Emerald green. Emerald green.
It shows, man. I can't even.
Emerald green.
You are the neighbor that I can't stand.
Well, thank you. I wear like a proud badge. Thank you.
You are definitely the neighbor that I cannot stand, man. I'm talking about this golf course green. It looked like you sprayed it on. That's how it looks. When they come out and treat the grass and it be that real deep green, that's what yours look like right now. And
dude, I'm about to cry. Thank you.
I mean, I hate you.
I'm about to cry.
I really do.
Tears.
Cry on that. Tears. Cry on the fact that we hate you.
Hey, I love it. Thank you. Let it hate. Yeah. But anyway, so I did, you know, yard work Saturday. Put out a whole bunch of mulch and everything. And a couple of my neighbors were wanting to come to my backyard and fish. You know, me go ahead and fish. My other neighbor to the right of me said, "Hey, since we got people back here fishing, I'm gonna put on the Boston butt." You better do it, man. What you mean? You better do it. So he gets the grill going. He starts smoking that thing. This was, you know, early on in the day because it takes a while for that thing to smoke. He's serious about smoking, kind of like you, keep it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to say he's not quite as good as you.
Okay.
But he's perfecting his craft. I mean, he grill or smoke 2-3 times a week.
I love it.
He's serious about that thing. So, okay, so we got that going on. The neighbors are starting to come. Other people are calling the neighbors, say, "Hey, what you doing? Hey, we over at Drake House. We're in the backyard fishing. Drake's got a butt on the grill, on the smoker." Then other people start coming up, and of course they have adult beverages. And I'm like, "Well, I'm going to have to respectfully decline because I'm on call."
Uh-huh.
"Oh, you're not going to get called out, blah, blah, blah." I said, "Well, I've been called out several times in the middle of the night, and you just never know." And I'll be doggone, at 6 o'clock, I got called out, and I didn't get home till 1 o'clock.
Dude, that is...
Well, yes, in the morning. So, one of the call-outs, I went, I had to go all the way to Phoenix City. People that know, Phoenix City is the last city in Alabama right before you get to Columbus, Georgia.
Oh, yeah, not the place you want to be riding out to.
Yes, and I live in Auburn / Waverly, which is a 45-minute drive. So I get out there, I handle it. That went a whole lot smoother than I intended. I come back, I drive all the way back. I pull in my driveway. I kid you not, if it could have been a script, you wouldn't believe me. I pull in my driveway and get another call, and I got to go all the way to Columbus.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, of course, my neighbors, you know, and my family, you guys know I love cookies. They sending me pictures of homemade cookies, they sending me pictures of the Boston butt on the smoker, they putting that thing apart, they sending me pictures, and when I first was receiving the pictures, I'm like, I lucked out. Matter of fact, I'm on my way home. Matter of fact, I'm pretty close. I'll see you in about 2-3 minutes. Then after I said, I get in my driveway, I get the call, and I just sent a mass text back that had a frowny face on it. That's it. So I get home at 1 o'clock. It takes me about an hour to wind down. I go to bed at 2, wake up at 10. At 10:30 Sunday morning, I get called out again.
God.
And I thought I might have had a homicide on my hands. But to keep a long story short, I was able to piece everything together. It was a suicide. Okay. I get done with that. I tell my boss, we have to put out a little message on this supervisor chat thing. I do that. Then the sheriff himself calls me because the situation, like I said, it looked like a homicide at one point.
Okay, okay.
He wanted the details. What about this? What about that? Explain everything to him. He said, "Yes, that makes perfect sense. Thank you. Good job, Drake. I know you had a rough weekend. Go home." While I'm talking to the sheriff, my phone is ringing. And I'm like, I'm not going to answer it. I'm talking to the sheriff. So I continue to talk to the sheriff. He tells me, good job, have a good day, go home, hopefully nothing else won't happen. As soon as he hangs up, my phone rings, and there's another body. So I was on my way home, I had to turn back around, and once again, I ended up in Columbus, Georgia. And so I got called out at 10 Sunday morning, and I got back at 10, no, I got called out at 10:30, and got back at 10 Sunday night.
How do y'all get called to Columbus, though?
Well, this particular guy, it was a suicide attempt. Okay. And so when they got there, he was technically still living. And so they rushed him to the nearest hospital because he lives out in Smith Station. So Columbus is the nearest hospital.
I got you.
Yeah. So I got to go to the house, look at that scene. I got to go through where the body is. I got to do all this stuff. But it was just a long day. And so I get in this morning, and I know I'm being long-winded. I'm going to keep it short.
Go ahead.
The lieutenant was supposed to do something a long time ago, and when you ask him about it, it's in reference to the schedule. When you ask him about it, he was getting nasty with you. Like, well, the schedule's out, and that's the way it is, man. The schedule's out. I'm not changing the schedule. And, you know, my rebuttal was, hey, you know, this took place before the schedule was out. You need to make it right.
Right.
The schedule was out. Well, if the sheriff is around or if our captain is around, different person. He working, he grinding, whatever. The captain's off for a day or two, which he was last week. It's like we got a substitute teacher. Don't know what chapter in the book we on. Don't know what's going on. So it's just like recess because he leaves. Nobody knows where he is for the rest of the day. So we have a morning meeting every morning. So I bring it up, say, hey, it probably would be best if we did it this way because of the situation that we had this weekend with, you know, possible homicides and so forth and so forth. And of course, after the meeting, he and the captain came to him, and the captain was like, yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, that probably would be better if we do it this way and that way. So, Jimmy, I want you to look at it and I want you to take care of that. And he was like, why don't we do it this way? So I'm like, no, Jimmy needs to be done this way. And he says, well, no, how about, the thing that bugged me about it, the captain asked him to look into it to see if it could happen. He didn't even want to take the time to look at it and try. So I probably shouldn't have, but I was getting frustrated, so I called him out. I said, well, Jimmy, to me, sound like you don't want to do no work and you just want to take the easy way out.
Now, this wasn't in front of everybody. This was just you, him, and the captain, right?
Yes. Yeah, this is after the meeting. He said, I don't have a problem with working. I work, but I said, well, you know, the captain, and I'm just like, well, the captain asked you to try to make it right. How about we try? If it can't get done, it can't get done, but how about we put an effort? And, of course, you know, excuse my language, that pissed them off. No, the captain was cool with it. The captain was like, okay, Jimmy, well, you need to go ahead and work on that. I got some other stuff I need to take care of. And so, of course, the captain leaves, and he's like, well, Drake, I didn't appreciate that. I take offense to that. I work hard here. I do everything I'm told, and I work. I looked him in his eye and literally didn't say a word. I had that boot up in my mouth, like,
whatever.
Yeah, whatever. And he said, I wouldn't do you like that. I wouldn't tell you something like that. And I came close to him because you can't tell me something like that because I work my butt off and you don't. But I just looked at him. I didn't say nothing. So, he was a little foul with me all day. But it was one of those, you know, there wasn't any tension in the air because, like, when two people get in an argument and both of them don't like each other and
right.
It's kind of awkward. It was awkward on my part. I continued working and continued cracking jokes with the rest of the co-workers, and he was the one who was thought they moved. So the captain ended up calling me in his office not to be like, hey, why'd you do that? He's just like, okay, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And I let the captain have it on everything. And the captain truly didn't know everything was going on because his philosophy was, you're the corporal, she's the sergeant, he's the lieutenant. I trust y'all. That's why y'all in these positions. Yeah. I don't need to micromanage you. So I'm just assuming you're going to handle it. Y'all, I didn't know all this
y'all was professionals going on. Do your job.
Yes. But now he is aware. And he has assured me, because it came to the point where, like, Captain, I'm about to transfer out of this division. And he was like, oh, no, we can't have that happen. So I assure you, you're going to see a change. Something's getting ready to take place. I just need to see it firsthand myself and do it. But I assure you, something's going to happen. Which it may or may not, but doggone it, it made me feel good.
You feel good, at least for them.
Yes.
So you had a rough week.
I had a real rough week, but you know what? It's funny, and I think the Lord sends you messages sometimes. Even when all this stuff was going on, and you know, I got my driveway, got called out. Of course, when the phone rings, I always mute the radio, get all the information down. I unmute the radio, and the song "Happy" is on. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? Happy is a choice. I truly believe in my heart, happiness is a choice. And no matter what's going on in your life, and no matter the struggles and turmoil and the trials and tribulations, you choose to be happy.
That's right.
You're going to have stress in your life, drama. You can control drama. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can't control stress, but you can control drama. I ain't got no drama in my life. I got a situation with a supervisor.
Right.
There's no drama. But I'm going to choose to be happy. And then, so the next day, the scenario with the sheriff, got off the phone with him, you know, the phone rang again, I muted it, got all that information. When I unmuted the radio, I'm happy was on again. And it really just changed my spirit, and I'm like, I'm going to go out here, I'm going to do the best job I can, and I'm going to choose to be happy. So that's the way I've been the rest of the week. I'm going to choose to be happy.
You can choose to be whatever you want. You can choose to be a butthole.
Yeah,
however, that's on you, player. As for me and my house, I'm going to choose to be happy.
Yes, sir.
I really like the Pharrell song, man. I mean, I really do, man. It's every time you hear it, you can't help but to move a little bit. You can't help but, I mean, it does something.
Makes you happy.
Yeah, it does. It really does. It really does. Even looking at him with that stupid hat on, I mean, it still makes you happy. It makes you laugh.
But that's the Arby's hat?
Yeah, I call it the Curious George hat.
Well, dude, you know, after he wore that hat at the Grammy, Arby's paid him like $1.2 or $2 million to buy that hat from him.
Oh, no, I did not know that. But
that's crazy.
You say that is the Arby's hat, too, huh? But when I see that, I thought it was a Curious George hat. You know, the one Dave used to wear on Dave?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the hat Dave wear. From
I can't recall his name. But yes. But it's a horrible hat. That just goes to show you, if you have money and you have a hot song on the radio, you can literally wear what you please, no matter how stupid it looks.
That's right.
No matter how awful it is, and it'll be acceptable because in society's eyes, you're somebody.
Yes.
Let me wear it and see how hard if I don't get kicked out the hood, if I don't get my black car pulled.
We'll straight laugh at you. In your face.
Yes. It didn't throw eggs and lettuce in.
I think, Drake, man, we got to get in. Look, you know, we may cut it short a little bit today, but we did want to get on here 3 weeks in a row so we can make sure to talk about some of this college basketball that's going on, man. So one of our picks is down. The champ is down. Even though they weren't champs yet. Wichita State, man. Hey, the SEC, even though we only showed up with three squads, we three of the last people standing in the top 16, baby.
Yes, sir.
All
yes,
three of our squads have still made it through, man. Florida still hanging tough. Tennessee still hanging tough. And Kentucky knocks off Mr. Undefeated himself, Mr. Wichita State. What was that, 35-0? I think it was the first team in NCAA history to go 35-0 or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was. And I had scheduled one of my brothers was going to come over and watch the game with me. And, you know, when I got called out. So I missed the game. He was just sending me little text updates like, man, this is the awesome game ever. This is the best game of the year. I can't believe this. I can't believe I'm watching this. And I'm like, you know, I know you're trying to just keep me informed, but you're not helping me right now. So, and it's funny. I've tried to, you know, watch highlights or whatever on ESPN.
Yeah.
ESPN is not showing highlights. They talk about the game, but I don't know what happened in the game.
And everybody talk about it. You know, like I said, you see all this. Oh, it's one of the greatest finishes ever. Can I see it? Can y'all replay a portion of it, please?
Yes.
I mean, they won't play none of it, dog. None of it. It's. I'm waiting for it to re-air, but I guess, do they not re-air any of these games?
I think they don't start. Well, they might re-air on, CBS Sports?
Okay.
That it's like that side cable or a dish, not dish, but dish style channel that's not a main channel, but because I know during football season, they'll replay the game, the SEC game of the week. They'll replay it.
Okay. I may need to look, man. I got to find this game somewhere. Because I'm like, you know, like you, I did not get a chance to watch the game. We were out with the kids a little bit, and so I missed the game. And then, like I said, I get home and talk about one of the greatest finishes ever. And, you know, this was a game for the ages. And I'm like, really? Really? This is the game I miss. It's the game for the ages. It's the one I miss.
Game of a lifetime.
Yeah. I'm watching all games. I'm watching. Let's see. Last week, I watched the Louisville-St. Louis. I watched the Michigan-Texas game. Mm-hmm. I'm looking out through here. I think I watched Michigan State and Harvard. I mean, I'm watching all these other games, but the game of the century I miss. Like, really? No. Okay, that's how y'all do me. You know I don't watch college football, basketball that often, and then you're going to let me miss that game. But, man, what's up?
I missed it, but if I'm going to the sports network, why am I looking at three white dudes and one black dude talk about how great this game was and not see one slam dunk, not one layup, not one shot? I mean, this morning I put it on, and they literally talked about how great this game was and the keys to how Kentucky won. And it's just a panel of these people just sitting there talking about it, and they didn't show any clips.
You can't show me, at least, show me the last second three that you talk about. Nothing. No. And I'm wondering, is there some kind of NCAA? I mean, I guess, you know, well, no, because if you're watching, they're showing clips and highlights of other games.
Yeah.
This is the only game you don't keep away from. Is that what? So it appears, man, that we got several Cinderellas, I guess. Well, I don't know if they're Cinderellas. How low of a seed do you have to be a Cinderella?
I'm going to say 12 on down.
12 on down. Okay.
Yeah.
We got Tennessee that's still in there, who played from a play-in game to still be battling in to make it in at number 11. And they play Michigan, who's number 2 here in the Sweet 16. And then you got a 10 versus 11 in Stanford versus Dayton.
Wow.
And Dayton has been, bro, Dayton has been putting that wood to folks.
Yes.
I mean, they
messed up everybody's bracket.
That's right. Ohio State knocked off Syracuse.
People in Dayton didn't think Dayton was going to beat Ohio State.
No. I mean, I seen the coach's wife had a shirt on, said that Dayton High or something she got on that shirt, and everybody's looking at the video and watching the shirt. But, you know, even though she put that shirt on, ma'am, did you really think Dayton was going to win, though? Be very honest with yourself. Did you think?
Yeah, in your heart of hearts.
Did you think Dayton was going to win? And even Stanford at number 10. I mean, but when Stanford came up against Kansas, did you really think Stanford were going to take Kansas out? Did you really think Kansas' big man Wiggins would just disappear from the game altogether?
Number one pick.
The number one pick projected. But he disappeared in the game. See, there you go. All them scouts and them talking heads, they tell you who should be the number one picks and all this other stuff. Watch the game, man. We talk about this in football all the time. Watch the game.
Yeah.
You know, this kid, big time pressure, where was he? So now you go spend this good money on this number one pick. He coming to your league, and you wonder why he can't handle the pressure. Did you ever see him in a pressure situation? How did he handle it then? I mean, you know, that's what I think sometimes. That, you know, we lose sight that these are still just kids, man.
Yes, and that is an excellent point.
But so he disappeared down the stretch, man. So we got Stanford and Dayton. In the other side, in that same side in the south bracket, we got Florida and UCLA, which is the only – well, there's a couple of 1-4s that made it in there.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Florida has not started the fastest, but they've been consistent to the end of the game.
Yeah.
They understand there's two halves of basketball.
Yeah.
So I think it was against Albany. I mean, they was only up by like 5 or 10 or something like that throughout that game. I mean, they only beat them by 12, but, you know, you expect them to really blow them out. But nonetheless, I mean, they just been consistent. They just been real consistent.
You know who else has been a little shocked to me?
Who's that?
It's Baylor.
Oh yeah. So they knocked off Creighton. Was it Creighton?
Creighton
and Nebraska.
Yep, and you know, Creighton had Doug McDermott, the number five scoring person in the history of the NCAA basketball. And ESPN was breaking down some names like Oscar Robertson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like,
wow.
He was number five, and these are the names that, you know, he's among. And I can't remember the other three, but, I mean, it was powerhouse names like that. Bill Russell. I'm like, well, okay. And, you know, it's just hard. I mean,
hard to fathom.
I know it's crazy. Yeah, I know it's crazy, but if this guy is this great, how come we hadn't seen him?
Yeah, why is this the first time I heard his name?
Yeah, why I hadn't seen him?
Unless you cheer for Creighton. And then, what did he do in the last game? Because Baylor blew him out.
And, you know, that was another game I missed. I mean, I literally did not watch any game this weekend.
Yeah, you was watching bodies. That's what you did.
Literally, yes, I was.
Unless basketball was the last thing your suicide people watched before getting putting one to their door, that's what you watched. Oh, I just happened to come in the house and the game was on, so I decided to sit here because they're not going anywhere. So I'm going to go finish watching this game off right quick. Thank you, my brother, for putting the game on for me. So, yeah, they got blew out, man. 85-55. I mean, that was a number 16 score, is what you expect.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. I did watch this game. Speaking of 116, I was there for a minute there. I thought the former coach from Auburn, Cliff Ellis.
Yeah.
Cliff had those boys playing good ball, man. Coach Carolina was bringing it.
Do you know, and I'm probably jumping a little bit, but because you brought up Cliff Ellis. You know, when Cliff was here at Auburn, at one particular time, which we've said plenty of times, Auburn basketball was number one in the nation.
That's right. We were relevant.
What happened with Cliff? Did he get in some trouble? Did he just say, I don't want to be here? I mean, what happened? Do you know?
Cliff did have some investigations going on when we let Cliff go.
Okay.
So he ain't got found guilty at that point in time, but there was some stuff going on when we decided to let Cliff go. And then I think he was coming off of one of his worst seasons. So, you know, I mean, it wasn't a great season. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't great. And he had 1 to 2 years of just kind of mediocrity. And then once that the rumors came, and then I think we had thought we were going to go get some just magnificent, you know, I don't know what we thought we was going to go get, but we was going after, like, what was that dude's name? Capel, John Capel or something like that. We had some big names supposedly we was going after at the time.
Okay.
And so I think we thought that there were bigger fish in the sea, and so we let Cliff go. And Cliff was like, okay, I'm going to go take Coastal Carolina to the
Coastal Carolina, too. Okay. All right.
I'm going to push the number one team, you know, to the brink. And in the end, I mean, Clifton was playing good ball, but I think talent just won out. You know,
you got these
good teams, these small schools. I mean, they can play well, and they play with these guys, and, they, you know, they're balling. But in the end, I mean, you have to beat one of the top teams. You have to be on it the entire game. You can't – there's no down. You can't – you know, it's got to be pedal to the metal the entire time.
Well, you know, it kind of goes back to football. Yes, we've had a lot of Cinderellas make it far. You know, Butler went to the NCAA championship 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
But they didn't win. And you have to think, okay, but this is the one thing I do love about basketball, because the way basketball is played, a small school does have a fighting chance.
Yeah, that's a shame.
But as far as, you know, if Alabama plays Wetumpka Tech don't have a chance. They just don't. If they play each other in basketball, Wetumpka Tech might have a chance. But when you get to the championship game, if we look consistently the last, I say, 10 years, a big school has won. We may have had some Cinderellas make it far, even make it to the championship game, but you got to think, okay, they're playing as a team, and that's why most of these mid-majors and Cinderella schools do well. They might have one really outstanding player, and then the team, the system that they're in and how they pass the ball and flow, they might do that very well and win some games. Well, you got to think, when you get to the championship and you're going against UConn, you're going against Louisville, Duke, North Carolina, Florida, when you're going against these schools, you got one outstanding player. All five of them guys on the court are outstanding, and the other six on the bench is outstanding as they're going to put in the game.
That's right. That's right. They never level up. They never let up. You got a bad. Yeah. You got a tight starting five, but I got a five starting 12.
Yeah. So
my whole 12-man rotation is deep.
But you know what, man? I really wanted to see, you know, Wichita, because they're a mid-major or small school, or whatever you want to classify them as. And it's obvious that they can play ball. I think nobody can dispute that, because I know they had some questions about, well, they didn't really play nobody. Yeah. Yeah. They can play. Somebody says they can't play, then something wrong with you, you're lying.
And don't think just because of Kentucky's ranking that Kentucky was a chunk either.
Yeah. Oh, no. They're trying to play some ball right now.
Yeah, and they have great talent still. You know, they probably some people have said they may have the most talented team in the NCAA tournament.
Yes, they're just young.
And that's why Calipari is able to flip them out.
Yeah.
You know, he got to keep it turning in, man. So I'm with you. I was pulling for Wichita State, and I'm not usually a David versus Goliath type guy. I like to see Goliath smash heads every time. I was pulling for Wichita State. I wanted to see them.
You know who else has played pretty doggone good? Okay. And I had them making it to this point. Is Iowa State.
I have not watched Iowa State play all season.
You see, Iowa State beat Kansas in the Big 12 championship.
Okay.
Yeah, Iowa State, I watched them a couple times this year. And I want to say their coach is Roy Hoybert or something like that, or Brian Hoybert.
Brian Hoybert.
Okay, yeah, he played guard in the league for a couple years. You know, one of them 3-point stroking white dudes.
Yeah, I know. I remembered the name when I seen it. I seen him dance on a video today.
Oh, yeah. But he has his team playing phenomenal, and he had a guy who is, he's the third leading scorer, and you're like, well, third leading scorer ain't that big of a deal. But this guy was kind of like the do anything guy. He was like 6'7", 6'8", might have been 6'9". He could post up. He can run the point if he needed to. He wasn't like no super duper athlete where he don't jump over everybody and dunk it. But he was just the guy who would make smart decisions, and you kind of wanted him and needed him on the court at all times. Well, he breaks his foot, and he's out for the rest of the tournament.
Oh.
And to some teams, I was watching ESPN maybe 2 days ago, and Kevin Durant was talking about how when Brad Westbrook went down again, how the whole team kind of slumped down. And we're talking about professionals.
Right.
You know, it's a professional team. And he talked about, well, when he went down again, I mean, we were just like, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? So you have to imagine what a college team is like. But that coach, he got them boys together in the press conference afterwards. He said, I tell you one thing, yes, we do need them. We're going to miss them. But I tell you one thing, we're going to be prepared to play. I'll tell you that much. We're going to be ready to play. And I'll be doggone. Them boys playing ball, man. So they are really playing ball.
And did they win? Did they win the Big 12 championship?
Yes, they did.
Okay, so that's the way they rank so high. I mean, they're ranked number 3, so they're not slouch anyway.
Yes, correct.
They bringing that wood. So
you don't think of Iowa State as a bad. You don't think of Iowa State as nothing.
I don't think of Iowa State as nothing. But Iowa. I mean, I don't even know
anything.
What do you associate when you hear Iowa?
Ooh, wheat fields.
Wheat. That's what you think of.
That's what pops in my mind. Wheat fields.
I mean, when I hear the word Iowa, all I think is white people. I'm sorry. All my friends, y'all know we love you, but I'm serious.
And that's why the Maiden Radio Show didn't have any sponsors. And that's why we are still on the internet and on the podcast. That's why I write there, ladies and gentlemen. So there you have it. So in case I was listening, like, these guys are awesome. Why haven't they got a shot yet? That's why right there.
Have you ever met a black person from Iowa?
Well, you know what? I knew a guy that was on the team. excuse me, here at Auburn. His name was David Walker.
Okay.
He played offensive guard.
Okay.
He was from Florida, I want to say, but he didn't like Auburn, and it wasn't nothing to do with the culture. It was the coach. Him and the coach didn't get along, and talking to my brother, who I'm really grasping that now. When a player signs to a team, they really ain't signing to the team. They sign into that coach.
Yeah, they sign
into that coach, and you know, if you don't like your coach, you're not gonna come play for somebody you don't like. So he didn't get along, and he went from Auburn. He transferred to Iowa. And I'm like, who you know in Iowa? How you get to Iowa? He said, my dad was sending tapes out everywhere. And Iowa said they're giving me a scholarship, so I'm transferring. And he went to Iowa and became the starting guard.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Iowa?
Yeah. Iowa.
Tell him to send us pictures from if there are other black people there. Iowa. I'm saying, and if they're not visiting, ask them to show you an ID that they live in Iowa.
Raise the family there.
That's right. Iowa. Okay. What's the largest city of Iowa?
Ooh, I don't know, and I don't know the capital. Hey, if anybody knows the capital, shoot that out to you boys.
Tell your boys anything you know about. Anybody got any fun, interesting facts about Iowa? If you know any athletes from Iowa, that are African American.
Why are you saying it that way?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, when I hear the word Iowa, I mean, it's like, what is Iowa? It's one of those states. Why is this still a state? Why do we have Iowa? Why has they not become a county of another state? What even state is Iowa around? Can somebody tell me that? What state is Iowa around?
Is it around the Dakotas?
Is it around the Dakotas? Another set of useless states? The Dakotas. I am looking it up right now to find where Iowa is. I think so. Is that Iowa? I don't even know. I don't know what geographical location Iowa is on the map. And so when you pull up Big Drake. Now, so let me tell you. I'll fix it. Give you this. Okay. So Iowa is between Missouri, Minnesota, and Nebraska, right?
Ooh, so, I wouldn't have thought that.
Yes. When I pull up the map on Google Maps, right, and I zoom in to where I see those four states. Each one of those states has another city highlighted and named in their state. So Missouri has Kansas City and St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Illinois has Chicago. Wisconsin has Milwaukee. Minnesota has Minneapolis. Nebraska has Omaha.
Yeah, Iowa, Nebraska.
Iowa just has Iowa.
Oh man,
there is no other city listed. It just says Iowa.
Hey, where you from? Iowa. Okay, what part of Iowa? Iowa? okay, we're at in Iowa. Iowa.
Okay, this is something familiar. Des Moines, Iowa.
Okay, yeah.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Oh, I've heard of Cedar Rapids.
Waterloo, Iowa.
Isn't that where they had like a fight there, a battle like a long, long time ago in Waterloo?
Yeah, I think so. Was it? Yeah, Civil War, something like that? I don't know. It's probably a different Waterloo, a more important Waterloo. Anyway, everybody is from Iowa and you have gotten offended. Tell me why you should not. Tell me why I shouldn't have been so offensive to you. Tell me something important about Iowa. Tell me how, if we chose to let Iowa succeed, or better yet, we dissolve the state of Iowa into Nebraska, Missouri, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota, and let everybody get a piece. Tell me what we'll miss if it was 49 states. I would rather give the 50th slot to Washington, D.C. than let Iowa keep it. That's all I'm saying. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that college basketball took me on a tangent about Iowa.
So, he did. He lost your mind on Iowa. Oh man, but you raised some very valid points.
It's a useless state.
Very valid
point. Oh my God. All right, so in the other bracket of the Midwest, man, we still got Louisville and Kentucky. Dude, is this not like the series of the ages now? Is this the new? So, you know, in the day, and you still have the Duke, North Carolina rivalry, but is Louisville, Kentucky the new it rivalry of college basketball?
Man, it really, really seems like that's becoming it. And, you know, Duke is always Duke, but here recently when they get to the tournament, I don't know what happens to Duke because Duke got beat. You know, I saw the highlights of that game. I missed that game too, but Duke got beat. North Carolina, I mean, ever since they won the national championship 5 or 6 years ago, or however long it was, they just hadn't been the same.
They got it.
So Louisville has, you know, they are the defending champs, and I think sometimes we forget that. And Kentucky is just a couple years removed from a national championship. So, you know, they're in the same state, kind of like the Duke and North Carolina thing. I mean, it's just, it's the new it.
They're the Alabama Auburn of college football. I mean, college basketball.
it's becoming that way. It really is becoming that way.
I mean,
and the last time they played, I mean, it's been some extreme battles.
Yes. Fight to the death.
Broken legs and everything. We ain't playing.
Lip it out. Well, no, yeah, the old dude, yeah, broken leg.
Well, they ain't playing.
And I guess is it fueled not only because they're both very talented programs, they're both in the same state, and then one has the coach, the ex coach of the other one.
That could be it as well.
The prominence of Kentucky, other than Adolph Rupp. You know, Rick Pitino was Kentucky basketball.
Yes,
he was. He took that shot and going to the Celtics and sucked, and then came back to prominence.
Oh, he stunk it up. And you know, I was excited because I was back in the day. I was a Kentucky fan as far as basketball, and when they won the championship, I was cheering. I was a fan. I even went and bought the blue and white Converse shoes that they wore in the national championship game. That's how much of a fan I was. And they won it when I was in high school. They had Tony Delk. They had Ron Mercer on that team. They had some ballers on that team.
Tony Delk, Wasn't Jamal Mashburn on the team?
I don't know if he was on that team, but Antoine Walker was on that
team. Antoine Walker, yeah.
They had a squad. I mean, like, everybody went pro. Everybody.
They did. They were starting five.
And we've had this discussion. I guess, you know, you always want to prove yourself. I want to go to the next level and do this. But, I mean, if it ain't broke, I mean, you have a chance to really do something really special and create a dynasty. And, you know, maybe 20 years from now, it'll be the Rick Pitino court. You know, they'll name something after you. But you want to go up there to the pros where it's just totally different. You weren't ready for it. And I was real curious to why he chose Louisville, because maybe you can help me out, Kingpin. Louisville wasn't a prominent basketball school when Rick came there.
No, he wasn't. And I really think it was that I just want to stick it to Kentucky. But it's not fair because Kentucky didn't do nothing to you. Kentucky, he was God in Kentucky.
Yeah, he was. He was Saban.
Yeah, but I think it may have been for him just that. I'm a God in Kentucky. Well, I can't go back to Kentucky. Ain't there another school? Yeah, there is. Let me call them. You know, I mean, I really do. I think it was, I'm familiar with this. I know everything about it. I know I can win there. I know what the, you know, I know what the state believes in and how they see me. I'm just going to go back to where I know. Even if that means not at the same school that I did all this at.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's been doggone successful there, man.
He's done it, man. I was just sitting here thinking about the athletic director at Louisville.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they've had football wise, was it Petrino? I'm getting all my pieces mixed up. Petrino, Of course, he leaves and goes to pro. He comes back because they want to go pro. Don't mess up. They've had Charlie Strong, who did an excellent job. And basketball-wise, they got Rick. I mean, it's that athletic director is doing an amazing job as far as hiring football to basketball coaches. I'll tell you that much.
Yes. I mean, he really has. I was looking at – I didn't know that Pitino – did you know that Pitino, before he came to Kentucky, was the coach of the Knicks?
Yes, I did know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's – so he stepped back down from college – from NBA to down to the pros, became very successful, and then tried to go back up.
Yeah.
But the second backup just kind of didn't work out.
It was hopefully, and to me, it seemed like he had all his former players on that team, on that Celtic team, that couldn't become starters somewhere else. So he's like, okay, well, I know how you can play. You guys know my system. We're going to do this full court, what they call it, 60 minutes of hell or whatever it was. Yeah, that's not going to work in the NBA.
No.
It's just not. I mean, it's just not. Especially, Tony Depp was, they were great college players. Decent pro players. Ron Mercer, great college player. Decent pro player.
Then didn't he go and try to recruit? Didn't he sign all the former Kentucky players?
that's what I'm saying. I mean, all those guys ended up being on that Celtics team. And I mean, I know they're your guys, and you believe in they can perform in this system. But they're decent. I'm not gonna say they're mediocre because I could never play in the NBA. They're decent NBA players. They're not superstars, but they're going against the likes of superstars in a full court press on a continuous basis, the 60 minute of hell or whatever. It's not going to work in the NBA.
No. I mean, you ain't. First of all, your players are far too old to keep up 60 minutes.
Yeah.
How about 3 minutes of hell and another 57 of ooh bad.
Yeah.
So, let me get a little trivia for you, Big Drake.
Okay.
Who was the losing team to Kentucky that year in the championship game?
Syracuse.
And who was one of the stars of that Syracuse basketball team?
He got drafted by. Last name Wallace. He got drafted by the Pistons as their first pick.
Wallace.
Last name Wallace. He was like a power forward.
No, it wasn't Rasheed.
Not Rasheed. Ooh. I see his face. He got drafted by the Pistons. He was the Pistons or the Knicks. He got drafted by the Pistons. And he was okay. He wasn't unspectacular. He didn't last that long within the league. But were you shocked that I knew that, though?
Yeah, I was shocked that you knew that. And the name that I read on here is that they faced off against Donovan McNabb on that team as well. John Wallace is who you're talking about.
Yes, John Wallace.
And Lars Moulton.
Donovan must have rolled the bitch or something. I don't really remember.
That team as well. Donovan McNabb. It says Juwan Walker faced off against his high school teammate Donovan McNabb in the national championship game.
Well, they probably should have said Donovan was on the team and Donovan didn't really play.
The team that had a member of his high school teammate on it.
Yeah, that's the way they probably should have worded that.
I would agree because I was looking. I was like, "Yeah, I don't remember him playing in that game. I don't even remember him. I don't remember him ever touching the court."
No.
Well, he was on the team, is what they said. So,
but you know what? That does speak highly about how athletic he was. We talking about Syracuse. This is a college. A basketball college. You know what I mean? So for him to even be on the team,
It speaks volumes for what type of athlete he was.
Yeah, I guess he was doing them up in practice, but practice and game time do different things. Just like he was doing them boys up in the regular season, come playoff time, couldn't do nothing. I like Donovan now. I like Donovan.
I do too, man. All right, so college basketball, Auburn did go out and hire Bruce Pearl this week. Mm-hmm. Personally, I was getting nervous. On that Tuesday, I think it was, last Tuesday, when a couple of teams got put out and people got fired, and there became other jobs available. And so I remember sitting at work Tuesday saying, if we truly want Bruce, we need to make it quick because before another job, more attractive job comes available.
Yeah.
And literally within a couple of hours, I think Jay Jacobs read my mind and went on and made the offer. They announced that we had signed Bruce Pearl. So I was super excited because, again, I was concerned that a more high-profile job was coming, and I just didn't think Bruce would be available had other jobs came available. I think Bruce was going to take the first thing smoking. I'm not taking a lot of credit saying, oh, we was the best offer for him. Nope, we was the first offer, and he was taking the first thing smoking.
Yeah.
So, but nonetheless, I am excited to have Bruce Pearl in the fold, man.
Well, I'll tell you what, because just listening to some of the things I've been hearing around here about the former coach and how, you know, that's one thing that we really get a sense of from our other coaches, whether it's in football, basketball, baseball, softball. When they come to Auburn, there's just something about the city and the town of Auburn where they're like, okay, I love Auburn. I love it. And people get involved. It was like they didn't know Tony Barbie. You know, and this is from, you know, second party, third party, but he was a jerk as far as, you know, I mean, he would wave to you, but you wouldn't get to know him. You know what I mean? Like, we neighbors, but you stay over there, I'm going to stay over here. When I see you, I'll throw my hand up to you.
Right.
And, you know, I tell you all the time, I just told the first part of this segment, I was just talking about all my neighbors wanted to come over and fish, and one neighbor threw a butt on me. We are a community here in Auburn. It's just the kind of way it goes. And I love, love, love. When he got off the plane, how the fans and the kids and the college students were out there cheering him on, and he, like, dove off in that thing and was getting it pumped with him. He was jumping with that thing. He was rocking with it. Like, it felt good to see some excitement and to see somebody not trying to, I guess, act a certain way and, oh, I'm not going to. I mean, just, hey, he was ecstatic about having the opportunity to play. He's ecstatic about being here. And it very well may be what you said. And we were just the first gun smoking.
Yeah.
But I just love the enthusiasm.
I think it ends up being a perfect fit.
Yes.
I mean, I agree.
I agree. And one of the things I love, he said, we watched the conference on over the web, and one of the reporters was just like, and you know, when you have a press conference, and I really look at, you know, word usage, verb tense, just the way people answer certain things, because if you know, this is an impromptu conference, and people are going to ask you a whole bunch of questions about a whole bunch of different stuff, and the ability to answer them in a concise way really says a lot to me. And he had an answer for everything. And one of it was a simple answer, but I just loved it. He was like, okay, so, you know, you went to such and such and such and such university, and he had all the stats, and you were such and such and such and such. Then you went to Tennessee, you were number one, such and such and such and such. Now, you had a little trouble, you got a little ordeal. I mean, Auburn over the last 3 years was 25-99. I don't know. I'm just throwing out numbers. So what would make you come here after having all that success at these other places? And it was like, you just said it, because Auburn went 25-99. And I'm like, I love this dude. I love Bruce Pearl. Bradley Pearl.
So Pearl, I'm all in. Just right there. I'm all in. And I do want to touch on this because I think we mentioned it last week. I do want to give Jay Jacobs some kudos, man, because he has had a phenomenal little run here. And, we, you know, only time will tell how successful his hires have been. But on the surface, he appears to have really dropped his gonads and let them hang real low and going and get what he wants. So we hired Bruce Pearl. Coach Gus led us to the national championship game in his first season out. Sonny Galloway was the coach that we mentioned but didn't mention his name for the baseball team. And according to a report that this report I'm reading that came out March 24th, that's today, Coach Galloway has the baseball team ranked in the top 25 and is tied for first in the SEC Western Division after two weekends of conference play.
So. All right. And to give a little extra note on that, I don't know if that the humidor hit you up, but the humidor listened to the previous show, and we were talking about the baseball team. And he said Alabama also lost to Alabama State. And even though we were joking about the Dominicans, that it is true that Alabama State has a bunch of Dominicans on their roster, and that's why they keep winning all these games.
So, even what we said in laughter was the truth.
Yeah, it's being real.
There's no better testament to how great we are, y'all. That's it. That's it. Hands down. Even in laughter, we speak the truth. In joking, we speak the truth. Just like what I just said about Iowa. So, and Clint Myers, who won national titles at Arizona State in 2008 and 2011, has the softball team nationally ranked and has got the Tigers to their best start ever through 33 games.
So, dude, I told you, we've gone to some of them softball games. Them girls ain't playing, dog.
Big kudos, Jay Jacobs, man, for balling out, man.
But really take Auburn over the top if they really implemented the Pride program.
Yes, sir.
That's all.
So, Jay, there's one last thing, baby. Hit Big Drake up, and let's go and put this pride in. Let's put the pride in here with these championships. That's all.
Come on now.
That's all we need. That's all we need. All right, Big Drake, before we get out of here, man, I got to get your take on. You know, we can't have any show without mentioning football at all. Michael Vick to the New York Jets. Tebow 2.0?
Dude, I just really think that the Jets, for whatever reason, is not going to be able to develop quarterbacks.
No.
Now, when you say Mike Vick, you mean he's beyond the developing stage.
Right.
And maybe, you know, because he said, hey, I know my role. And, you know, he had to quickly catch himself. Hey, I am here to compete for a starting job. That's my mentality. That's what I'm going to do. But I do know my role. And so I think they pretty much said, yeah, you can compete, but we need you to help old dum-dum over here so he stops throwing so many interceptions. That's what we really need you to do, and we'll give you a contract, and you'll be on the team. You might start this first year, but we really need you to kind of mold him into a better quarterback. Now, is Mike Vick the person that I want molding my quarterback?
That's what I was going to say, Big Drake. I'm like, yeah, if that's the cause, is Mike Vick the person you hired for that?
Yeah, I mean, no, it's not. But, I mean, look at, since Rex Ryan has been there, you know, Rex Ryan is known for having hellacious defenses. And that's why they went to those NFC championship games 2 years in a row, because they had a great offensive line. They had a big, heavy, fat running back. And then they tacked on Darian Thompson at the back of it. Yep. So they had a two-headed monster as far as running back. And that's all they did. They pounded. They called it ground and pound, ground and pound, ground and pound. And that defense was just flat out lights out. And that's what brought them there. And it just seemed like, okay, you know, they was calling Mark Sanchez Sanchez and all this stuff. And, okay, but, you know, you're calling him the next franchise, the football player of your franchise. But he's going in the game, and he's literally going 8 for 12.
Right.
And he's the savior. And y'all going ground and pound. And y'all got the great defense. And I'm going to say it, dog. It is probably another reason why we ain't got no sponsors. But let it have been a black quarterback going 8-12 as far as a whole game throwing.
He'd have been gone. He would have gone the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he can't do this. He can't do that. But so, they go to two of those in a row. The third year, oh, Sanchez is ready. Let's open up the playbook for him. And once they did that and really let this dude start throwing the ball, that was like a roller coaster. You know how the roller coaster starts off going up slow? It's going up slow. It's creeping up. It's creeping up. And that's what they was doing with that ground and pound. They're creeping up. NFC Championship game. And I apologize, fans. I get them mixed up. I don't know if it's NFC or AFC. Which division?
AFC. They're
AFC. Okay, the AFC. They're creeping up. They're creeping up. 2 years in a row, AFC Championship game. They're creeping up. Now, next stop, they're going to get to the top and win the championship. But no, they decide to take the reins off Mark Sanchez and let him do his thing. And that thing topped the crest of that hill and went straight down. And that's when you got the bus fumble.
Sanchez threw more picks than the Soul Train in the 70s, baby. I mean, his picks going left and right. Yeah,
everywhere, man.
Yeah, garbage. hot guy.
He threw more picks than slaves picked cock.
That's it.
That's how bad that was.
More picks than buggers picked in elementary school. And everybody knows I thoroughly dislike Rex Ryan. I do not like Rex Ryan. I think he is a loudmouth. I think he is a good defensive coordinator, but that's it. And
you have a thing about coordinators trying to be head coaches.
I do. I have a thing about coordinators trying to be head coaches. Everybody ain't it. And Rex is one of them. He need to go on back to sucking the wife's toes and calling defensive plays. That's what you're good at, Rex. That's what you're good at. Stay focused on what you're good at. I just hate to see. And I know why Vic did it. I suspect this was the only offer he had at this time. I do think he would have got other offers after the draft. But, you know, at 34, 35, you can't afford to wait and hope that you're going to get other offers. So you got to take whatever's in your hand. But, man, I hate to see him go to the Jets.
I'm waiting on the press conference where, you know, this always happens no matter what sport it's in. When the elderly, and of course 35 ain't elderly, but in the sports where you're a little old, I'm waiting on the press conference to where these exact words come out of his mouth. Yes, I'm 35, but I'm in the best shape of my life.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're not. So you're really telling me you're in better shape now at 35 than you were at 22, 23, and 24. Oh, well, in his case, it might be true because at that age, he was in prison. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Prison was the best shape of his life because all he did was worked out.
Yeah. Well, I hate when he's athletes. Of course, by no means, I'm not an athlete. I'm just a weekend athlete. I go play ball. Right. But, you know, and you've gotten into the running and working out.
Yeah.
When your body starts aging and, you know, 33, 34, 35, it's not old. But all my people that study out there and that's active, you know, you get a little tweaks that you didn't get at 22.
I'm not in the best shape of my life.
You get bumps and bruises.
That's right.
I played college football. I got hit by 340-pound men. I got a little nick, but in an hour or two, I was good. I played basketball, and dude banged me the wrong way. Why I need to go lay down and go to sleep and tuck my thumb because I'm hurting so bad. your body just, mark my words, there's going to come a point where they're battling or something's going to happen, and he's going to use the phrase, I'm in the best shape of my life, and I'm going to strap on a bomb to me, and I'm going to go somewhere, and I'm going to yell, Allah Akbar. And that's going to be it. That's the way I'm going out. Okay, I can't take it.
But now, you do know, what was coming for me when Mike Vick signed with the Jets.
What's that?
I would take him with the Cowboys in a heartbeat. I would push Tony Romo down a flight of stairs in a heartbeat to have Michael Vick be my quarterback.
And you should have Tony Romo with the bomb and make him say Allah Akbar. Tony Romo was a terrorist. You never knew.
I was with Big Mike yesterday, and I mentioned this to him. Big Mike is also a Cowboy fan.
Okay.
Big Mike has contemplated taking a sabbatical from the Cowboys. Because he said he gets way too intense, and he's not, from what the offseason showed, he is not prepared to have another season to where he's angry for no reason. And so he's preparing to take a sabbatical from the.
Tell you it's okay to be a Cowboys fan, but after each game, we just need to go ahead and pop that for real.
He is going to the extreme that he is thinking about taking a sabbatical from football, period, this season.
Ooh, that's a bad idea.
That he is that distraught about the Cowboys. But I told him, I said, I would push Tony Romo down a flight of steps any day for Michael Vick. And he disagreed. And he said it's not the quarterback. And I said, no. I agree it's not all the quarterback. Jerry Jones.
It's the quarterback, though.
And Jerry Jones is a part of it. But it is a part of the quarterback.
Yeah.
We can't improve that we gave him $300 million, you know, over the next 27 years, even though he's already 36. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's
we can never get back.
It's the quarterback.
He's garbage. Hot garbage. So, Mike, if you're truly in the best shape of your life, even if you're not, Your half better shape is better than Tony Romo to me. So I would gladly take you on the star. Just tap that contract, Rex, and come on play in D, man. We need a quarterback. I'm tired of Romo. Everybody else can hook their wagon to it. I will continue to stay right where I am as long as Tony Romo is my quarterback, man. All right, Big Drake. Like I say, family, we're sorry I had to kill the show, but it's been a long week, and it's just going to get longer. I have a lot to go on this week. So we wanted to get on. We wanted to hit some college basketball, and we'll be back on next week, man, to talk more about this college basketball. We should probably be down to a Final Four. If you check Facebook, I just like for the listeners to know, Big Drake's picture is already up on Facebook. Bam.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Boy, check out that Emerald Green grass, baby.
I'm evolving. As we were speaking, I put it up on Facebook. So check us out. Tell me what you think. I put it up there. I said, this Big Drake grass, and it's just March.
And it's all. I'll be more than happy to answer any of your lawn care questions.
Because you know he's
going to give you. Your grass look like that?
No, you do.
I did.
That was not meant as a slight.
No. I knew you wouldn't. I didn't take it that way.
Your trophy is very evident in the beautiful emerald green of your grass.
Yes. If it wasn't going to drop down to 42 degrees, I might pitch a tent and sleep on my grass tonight.
Is that soft? It's supple, yeah. Like a lady. It's supple like a lady.
It is, man. I'll let you know how often you need to water, how often not to water, what type of fertilizer, and independent on your grass, different formulas. When I say formulas, you can get it in, like, it's three series of numbers. You can get it in 30-0-0, you can get it in 10-10-10, 16-16, 25-6, there's different things. And for my grass, I've got a special blend that I'm going to keep secret to me, because I don't want any of my neighbors, because sometimes my neighbors listen to the show, be like, ooh, I'm going to get some of that, and I want my grass to look like Drake grass. No, I want my grass to look like my grass, and your grass to like a dust bowl like it is over there. And if I catch it peeping out my stuff, I might just throw some Clorox on your grass. I might throw salt in your game. I don't care. I do it. I'm gutter about this grass. I will send little beetles over there in your grass with little beetle bombs and say Allah Akbar and blow your lawn up. I don't care. Yeah.
And with that,
I'm serious about this grass. I'm not, you know, even a turf war. It's really gonna be a turf war.
Turf.
The Bloods and Crips, they ain't got no turf war. I'm about to show them what a turf war is.
Real turf.
Yeah.
Big Drake, any final words for our listeners, man?
Oh, man. Yeah. As you can tell, this has been my stress reliever of an exhausting day. Today was technically day 8 in a row for me, and I have to finish out the rest of the week. So I really, really appreciate the time. Wish we had more time. Wish we could do it more often. Wish we could do this for a living.
Yeah.
But I cherish the moments that I have to share with you guys. And, of course, peace, War Eagle, keep the faith. Pride 2014, let's get this thing going. And to end on my note, I want to reiterate what I talked about earlier. Through your trials and tribulations and through the difficult times in life, remember that God is watching. God is the Lord and Savior. And happiness is a choice.
Hey, there's no other song that I can end the night show with other than what? Pharrell and Happy, baby.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, it's on you. As for me and my house, I will choose to serve the Lord. No matter what's going on, man. Hey, he's the one that brought you to it. And guess what? If he brought you to it, he'll bring you through it. Just trust
me. I'm
waiting on you to put your faith in it, man. Hey, and I want you to get this, man. If you're sitting and wondering why your attacks are so big right now, if you're wondering why things are happening to you so bad right now, if you're wondering why you're struggling so hard, whether it's temptation, whether it's a bad boss, or whether it's, you know, whether no matter what it is, the attack is coming heavy right now, I'm going to tell you why. It's because the enemy sees what God's put inside of you, and he's scared that is going to come forth.
Come on.
He is scared that it's going to come forth. So I dare you to buckle up your shoe straps, pull up your pants, up under your titties, your breasts, up under your chest.
Once again, people, why we don't have sponsors?
And tell the devil, bring it on, big boy, because I got the Lord on my side, and greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and today I choose to be happy. Hey, man, it's your boy Kingpin, Big Drake, Made Men Radio Show. Man, we love you. We love you. We love you, fam. We love the time. We love getting a chance to cut up with you. It's our stress reliever, man. We love just getting on the radio having fun, man. But I dare you today, man, no matter what's going on, know that we love you. Know that we got your back. If you need us, hit us up. Your boy Kingpin at MadeMenRadio.net. Big Drake at MadeMenRadio.net. Almost everybody has our numbers. Hit us up, man. You need somebody just to talk to. Hit us up. I'm serious about this one. If you just need somebody to talk to, you just need a word to get you through the day, hit me up. I don't care what's going on. If I can't answer right then, I may be in a meeting, but I promise you I'll call you right back. Just hit me up, man. Don't think that you got to be in this world alone. We are connected for a purpose, and our purpose is to fulfill our destiny. And I want to help you get there, man. Hey, hit us up, man. What's up?
Same here with me. You might be in the meeting when they call. I might be at a body when they call, but I will call you back. And before you give your final words, Kingpin, I just want to also reiterate about Cash. Chris always stays humble. We're going to post the two songs that he debuted to us. We're going to post them up on the website so you guys can listen to it for free. But look out for his album. Keep him out. The guy is a real, real gifted gospel rapper, and he has some producers on there that have worked with your big names, your Rick Rosses, your Jay-Z's, and your Kanye West's. So the music side of the tracks, it doesn't get any better.
That's it.
But the message is real, and the message is deeper.
And you got somebody you want us to promote, man, shoot your boys the music, man. Drop it to us. We'll put it on the show. You know us. We love great music, man. So we're going to get everybody out there. Hey, man, fam, we love you, man. Thank you. Share the word. Pass it with somebody else. Tell them, check in with these boys that Made Me a Radio Show. These boys are straight fools, man. And they probably won't get no sponsors, but they'll definitely keep you laughing. It's your boy, Kingpin, Big Drink. Two fingers in that. Deuces.
Peace.
By the way, huh? right. That's